said, don't make me get involved.
Chapter 11. If you ever look at a picture of someone who has just had an idea, you might notice a drawing of a light bulb over the person's head. Of course, there is not usually a light bulb hovering in the air when someone has an idea, but the image of a light bulb over someone's head has become a sort of symbol for thinking, just as the image of an eye, sadly, has become a symbol for crime and devious behavior, rather than integrity, the prevention of fire, and being well-read. As Violet and Quigley climb back down the slippery slope of the frozen waterfall, their fork-assisted climbing shoes poking into the ice with each step, they look down and saw, by the last light of the setting sun, the figure of Klaus. He was holding a flashlight over his head to help the two climbers find their way down, but it looked as if he'd just had an idea.
"He must have found a flashlight in the wreckage," Quigley said.
"It looks like the one Jacques gave me."
"I hope he found enough information to decode verbal fridge dialogue," Violet said, and tapped the candelabra below her feet.
"Be careful here, Quigley. The ice feels thin. We'll have to climb around it."
"The ice has been less solid on our way down," Quigley said.
"That's not surprising," Violet said.
"We've poked a great deal of it with forks. By the time false spring arrives, this whole slope will probably only be half frozen."
"By the time false spring arrives," Quigley said, "I hope we'll be on our way to the last safe place."
"Me too,"
Violet said quietly. And the two climbers said no more until they reached the bottom of the waterfall and walked carefully across the frozen pool along the path Klaus shone with his flashlight.
"I'm so glad you returned in one piece," Klaus said, shining his flashlight in the direction of the dining room remains.
"It looked like a very slippery journey. It's getting cold, but if we sit behind the library entrance, we'll be away from much of the wind."
But Violet was so eager to tell her brother who they had found at the top of the peak that she could not wait another moment.
"It's Sunny," she said. "Sunny's at the top. It was her who was signalling us."
"Sunny," Klaus said, his eyes as wide as his smile.
"How did she get up there? Is she safe? Why didn't you bring her back?"
"She's safe," Violet said. "She's with Count Olaf, but she's safe."
"Has he harmed her?"
Klaus asked. Violet shook her head.
"No," she said. "He's making her do all the cooking and cleaning."
"But she's a baby," Klaus said.
"Not anymore," Violet said.
"We haven't noticed, Klaus, but she's grown up quite a bit. She's really too young to be in charge of all the chores, of course, but sometime, during all the hardship we've been through, she stopped being a baby."
"She's old enough to eavesdrop," Quigley said. "She's already discovered who burned down the VFD headquarters."
"They're two terrible people, a man and a woman, who have quite an aura of menace," Violet said. "Even Count Olaf is a little afraid of them."
"What are they all doing up there?" Klaus asked.
"They're having some sort of villainous meeting," Quigley said. "We heard them mention something about a recruitment plan and a large net."
"That doesn't sound pleasant," Klaus said.
"There's more, Klaus," Violet said. "Count Olaf has the Snicket file, and he found out about some secret location, the last safe place where the VFD can gather. That's why Sunny stayed up there. If she overhears where the place is, we'll know where to go to meet up with the rest of the volunteers."
"I hope she manages to find out," Klaus said. "Without that piece of information, all that I've discovered is useless."
"What have you discovered?" Quigley asked.
"I'll show you," Klaus said, and led the way to the ruins of the library, where Violet could see he'd been working.